How are you, Russ?
Good, Gord. Good, Simmer. How are you?
Good. Memorial Cup's a funny animal. We always talk about memorable Memorial Cup experiences or performances, and you always wonder about how much it should or shouldn't sway a scout as far as things go. I don't know what kind of maybe intriguing guys there are that way for you with the four teams playing.
Well, it can sway it a little bit. Gabe Vilardi's there now, and I've got him ranked seventh at the moment. We'll see where he ends up. I'll do one more ranking. But he has a chance to definitely move up. There's nothing he can really do to move down, I don't think, because he's got the measurables. He's 6'3". He's over 200 pounds. He's fast. He's got great hands. He could score in the slot. He could score a lot of different ways. He's a multidimensional guy. But if he were to win tournament MVP, would that move him up? Just might. And so he could really help himself. You know, Robbie Fabry helped himself in his draft year. There's been some players that definitely can help themselves. Normally, if you have a certain opinion of a guy, it's not going to drop if he doesn't have a great Memorial Cup because, again, it's such a hard tournament. It really is.
Hey, Russ, Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet is down there covering it, and he's going to be joining us later on this program, and he has referred to this as kind of a traveling all-star roadshow. In other words, these teams have loaded up. I mean, just how talented and deep are these four particular teams in this particular Memorial Cup?
No, they're really deep. I mean, you look at Windsor, you know, they got Sean Day. They have Vilardi. They have other players. Seattle's got Barzal, and they've got a few draft eligible guys. So they all load up. They know that, and it's fun, and it's amazing. I've been to two or three, and it's amazing the fan support, the buzz. It's really, really a tournament of its own. It's different than the Stanley Cup. It really has a different kind of feel. I've been out on the ice after teams have won. You know, I remember talking to Griffin Reinhardt on the ice after Edmonton won, and I thought, boy, this is really going to propel him, and it's still taken him a while. So you never can tell from that aspect of things. But as far as teams loading up, yeah, they do that every year.
One just interesting note, our chat yesterday with Jim Nill, and I guess they only moved up about five spots or whatever it may be, but just at third overall, you know, what are you looking at? And, you know, he mentioned being open to possible trades, so it doesn't, you know, it doesn't sound like it's a Jack Eichel or an Austin Matthews or Connor McDavid at that particular spot. But what kind of player do you think you're looking at?
I think they would look at a Mittelstadt. I think who's a center. I think they would look at Liljegren, who is my top defenseman, maybe a Klim Kostin, maybe Tolvanen, maybe Vilardi, maybe Elias Pettersson, maybe Cody Glass. I think you look for center or defense if you're them. And I still would go with the centerman based on the fact that, like I said last week, Spets is not getting any younger. Although, again, depending on what your table feels, if Liljegren's ranked higher, I have no problem walking in and taking a guy that can be a possible one or a two in the future for me as a defensive pairing. So either way, they're going to be in good shape. I don't think Jim Nill is going to trade this pick. I don't even think he's going to trade down. This is a guy who loves the draft. This is a guy who basically told me once that he kept updating his own rankings before the draft as he was mowing the lawn at the house. He'd mow the lawn. He would think about a guy. He'd run back into the house. He'd take some notes. He'd go back out and do the lawn. Like, this is not a guy I don't think that's going to trade that pick.
What's his lawn look like?
I don't know, but it must be good.
I don't know. Yeah. Probably be forget spots, I hope. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Is there any who's your movers now, or are there any in the last, since we've really kind of checked into this whole thing, and guys
I'll
that have made
a mover, Christian Vesalainen, big winger. He's really had a great year, and so I think he's moved up on a lot of people's list. Cale Makar is certainly a guy that's moving up on a lot of people's list of defensemen. Played in the AJHL. He's a guy I think that people could be watching closely at the combine just to see how he can perform, you know, next to the other guys in his draft class, strength-wise, bike-wise, just the things that you look for out of a defenseman. Nicholas Hogg, I mean, he's a guy, he's getting scouted heavily by the Leafs, big defenseman. He 6'5", 215. He'll fill out over the years, but he's got great long reach. He's got a big shot, but he's more of a defenseman guy. So, but he's another one that could be moving up. Ivan Lodnia, I think, could possibly move up as well. 5'10", he's a right wing. Really fast, really just an excellent stick handler. Another guy who could really help himself, actually, from the Memorial Cup buzz.
And again, not to beat on the Leafs, because they're not a team you beat on really this past year. But you know, you saw a misstep for them. I go back 2011. I'm going to go back to the star of it all being Rickard Rakell. But I mean, they moved up. They traded that pick to get Tyler Biggs 22nd. They had another first round pick to Stuart Percy 25th. They are, you know, basically out of the NHL in varying way, shape, or form. This was the Ryan Nugent-Hopkins draft, going first overall, then Landeskog, then Huberto. But, boy, Anaheim taking Rickard Rakell 30th, and what a gem he's put. That was with the Leaf pick. And the bonus second-round pick, they took John Gibson. And he was the second goaltender selected. Let's see, who went just? Magnus Helberg went before him, one before him to Nashville. So you see, Gibson's kind of a high pick. You can't get any higher than Fleury where he's picked. Montreal did it with Carey Price all those years ago. But it's a funny animal about where you take goaltenders. And it seems like the older days, right, at Russ, of letting them slip a little bit more has or down a bit more has taken hold. Where do you think a goaltender will go or start going this draft?
Yeah, and it is funny about Gibson, because I was really high on him and I was surprised that he went there. But I guess, you know, like you said, teams had other things in mind. I think Jake Ottinger will break the first round. I think he'll be the only one to do it, right around anywhere from 27 to 30. I think I could see a team going for him and saying, okay, look, we're a really successful team now, but you can never have too much goaltending. And he's a kid that really is sharp. He's got great size. He plays for a great hockey program. So I think at the end of the day, he's the one who's going to break through. We'll see. But, you know, it's hard to get a really good 6'4 goalie, and everybody wants one. So I think at the end of the day, he's the guy.
Russ Cohen, co-host of Hockey Prospects Radio. When you do Hockey Prospects Radio this weekend, how will you shape it? Like, what will be your, like, anything funky, anything special? Or are you going to really?
Memorial Cup coverage.
All Mem Cup.
We're going to go through players and teams. You know, we'll talk a lot about that Seattle team. I mean, they have Ryan Gropp, who's a Ranger prospect, a big kid who could score. We'll talk about Matt Barzal. I mean, Islander fans should be watching this closely. Jeremy Bracco's in it. You know, Leaf fans. He's a Long Island kid. I watch him pretty closely. He's a hell of an offensive talent. So there's a lot of guys. Sean Day, you know, like I brought up, another Ranger. And not as much attention on him, I felt, since the Rangers drafted him as compared to when, you know, he had exceptional status as a 15-year-old. So he could really, you know, just continue to impress people. He's had a nice season. He's had around 30 points. You know, big defenseman. Let's see what he can do.
Take a look, talking to Russ Cohen, co-host Hockey Prospects Radio. Covers the NHL as well, but talking about, you know, what's going on as we get set for the Memorial Cup going, and the NHL draft still a bit away. Yeah, it's interesting as well, the better teams. You're suggesting one of them may take a goaltender in the first round and kind of park it a little way, that you can look at things a little bit differently. The Vegas Knights, are you going to rush guys a little bit more? Are you going to maybe after your first round pick, which I think you've got to always go for who you think is the best prospect available, but then maybe look for some mature players that can maybe make your lineup next year?
I mean, maybe I think in the mid rounds they could take some overagers, but I don't think they're going to do that otherwise. I found it interesting that they were going to have a shared affiliation now, because I thought maybe they would go heavy in the free agent market or try and acquire extra picks in this draft, but I guess they felt it was too much to try and field a full team in the first year. So
yeah, who are they doing it with again? I'm trying to. I was
Chicago.
Yeah, I was more. Is the Blackhawks?
Yeah.
No, Chicago
Wolves. But who's
Wolves.
The NHL team that?
St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis. I'm a little more surprised about, because you know we've had Dave Andrews in, and a lot about it is everybody wants their own team for a number of reasons. You know, the style, systems, all that kind of thing. I'm a little surprised St. Louis decided to go kind of cost cutting in a different direction.
Yeah, me too. But I think at some point they'll move their team out, or Vegas will move their team out. But and this could go for another year, too. What the shared affiliation ends up hurting is your young goalie. because let's just say, for argument's sake, Jordan Binnington's still there for St. Louis, and let's just say, just for argument's sake, Vegas gets Tristan Jarry. Well, Vegas would probably want Tristan Jarry to play, 50 games, right? He's not going to if Jordan Binnington's still there, because Jordan Binnington's been the guy, and so he's probably going to play 30-something games. And so that's where you all of a sudden can stunt the growth of a really good goalie, because you're in a shared affiliation situation. So that's the negative aspect of it.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like, if you're sharing, like, that's true. Your goalies, like, you're starting to get into a little scrap, you'd think. Like, hey, what about my guy?
You want them to play games. I mean, that's right. The thing about it. Yeah. You might even loan your goalie to another team if you feel like he's not playing enough games, and get him off that team.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to say, real quick, we've asked about the actual players, but do you have a feeling on which one of these all-star teams wins the Mem Cup?
I don't. I'm kind of pulling for Seattle. I like Barzal, and I like Gropp, so I'm going to pull for Seattle. I think Windsor is going to have a hard time. They're the host, but I don't think they're as good as the others.
Plus, Seattle's never won it.
No.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
To go back about what Simmer's lying, because I can remember when I started with the Leafs, we shared our team with the Chicago Blackhawks, the New Brunswick Hawks. And it was and why teams did that, by the way, was when the World Hockey Association got going, and there was the NHL team said, well, why are we developing guys and they're just getting picked the next year by the WHA? So they kind of cut back to half teams, right? And then we went through with a guy named Vincent Tremblay, because Chicago's Murray Bannerman played all the games, right? So just exactly what Simmer's talking about. So I was a little bit surprised about how that all went. So, well, we'll get a chance. We'll chat more about it next week. The Memorial Cup underway. Russ, always appreciate your insight. Thanks, pal.
All right, boys. Thanks.